Hello and welcome to the third module of Microsoft Virtual Academy Windows Server 2012 R2 Server Management and Automation Session. Right, so we have talked about, till now we have talked about the standard-based management and how to simplify your routine task. We have talked about the standard-based model and the PowerShell, the power of PowerShell that you can actually utilize with the capabilities that we had before and the new capabilities that we have shipped with R2-bit. Right, so what are those things that I would like to talk about in this module is the deployment. The deployment options that we have and the way that we kind of introduced you of deploying with the new desired state configuration. So there are multiple deployment options that we have introduced in Server 2012. And it remains the same for a platform basis, which we introduced to is a full GUI, which does have all the GUI piece of it, and the mini shell, which is introducing you with the server manager, but none of the UI and the explorers are going to be installed there, and the server core version, which we highly recommend you to use on a production level. So once it's out there on a production wise, we encourage you to actually pull that off from pull the UI off from that server so that you will have the least surface to patch and maintain and have it as hardened as possible. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. The deployment options, you will be able to see that on Windows Server 2012 R2 installation screen. Once you select that, you will see the screenshot here, which I have right now. But just the screen before that, you will have the option of, do you want to install that in GUI, core, or on a mini shell, right? So if what are the core mode? It's something that we have introduced with Server 2008, but from Server 2012, we have a functionality where we can take away the UI after the installation. From the day before the Server 2012, we couldn't transfer back to the core mode and the GUI mode. But now, with Server Core mode in Server 2012 and R2, you can install with a full GUI mode and just uninstall the GUI mode so that it'll be running on a core mode. And so that was the functionalities that we had. Now, how is it really different? I'm just briefly going to introduce this to you because this is what we had in Server 2012. The full GUI mode is a classical Windows Server where you have all the UI, the desktop experiences. It has a Metro-style app and everything. But we have introduced like kind of a middle layer for it, which is the minimal server interface, which is the full server without the server graphical shell. So we're only going to pop out the PowerShell and the server manager so that you will be able to manage with a GUI that is going to be managed through Server Manager. But you won't be able to have access to any Internet Explorer or File Explorer or associated files and edit them through the File Explorer and such. It's not just going to be there. It's just going to be taken out from the full server mode. And server core mode, of course, it's a core mode that you just have the PowerShell UI with. So once you install that, you're just going to have a blank screen with the commandlet windows on top of it, which is the commandlet, but you can just enter PowerShell, just type it in with PowerShell. But that's pretty much all what you have for a core UI mode, server core mode. Now, I want to kind of show you why this is so important. There was a statistics and there was a study around how many patches do we need, how many reboots do we need if it is deployed in a different manner. So if you look at the comparison with Server 2008 R2, along with the core mode and just the service, just the full UI mode, the number of updates is pretty significantly different, right? And the restart required is different as well. Now note that these are all the patches that is being had been needed, and these are all the numbers that each of the patches needed for restart. Please note that we do not normally enable all the roles and the features within that Windows Server, right? But this is the, all the patches and the, all the restart required if you have installed all the roles and features. So if you have a certain, like a web server role installed on your Windows Server, this is not the number that you will be having, but this is all the numbers that you would need. Now, why do we have this number? It's because we want to really compare with those other operating systems and kind of compare where we're really at. And we have a significant less number than those competitors we have in the operating system space. And if you look at the Windows Server Core Mode on 2012, you will see that you just need two restart for Hyper-V enabled Server Core Mode. So if you have installed Server 2012 in a Core Mode, and if you have Hyper-V enabled, which we'd highly recommend just to have Hyper-V role on top of their setting, no roles other than that, you would have just needed two reboots on that space for that patch as well. But obviously, we did introduce, and we have this functionality called live migration. So hypothetically, if you have a virtual machine running on top of that host machine, you would never lose that virtual machine any loss in data or downtime, because you just need to live migrate and then you need to reboot and then switch it back. But all you needed to do was two times for that. So this is how strong our core mode really is. So I just wanted to kind of lay it out there and to kind of show you how important it is, as in a production-wise, and how massively we have improved on the deployment methodology there, on deployment method there, so that you can utilize and maintain in a very efficient manner. Now, what is there to deploying with Server Manager? Now, this has been pretty much the same of what we had in Server 2012, but it had been enhanced and in the performance wise, and we have introduced really deploying it to a server pool or a VHD, which we originally had, and we could select the server roles and deploy them along with the features as well. And of course, it can automatically restart as well. So this is pretty much the same what we had in 2012, right? We have enhanced it in performance, so in R2, so that is at that. And I really want to talk about the desired state configuration. What is a desired state configuration? It's a way that we want to deploy a server, not just deploy, but maintain and really update on the exact state that we want, right? So it's a PowerShell. It all starts with PowerShell, where you define a set of state configuration, and then you deploy that to multiple servers or the multiple servers that you want to be created with this desired state configuration. Drilling down to it a little bit more is that, first of all, you need to author what kind of a state that your virtual machine or your physical machine want to be at. And this can be defined by a PowerShell. Not just on version 4, but it can be defined on a language that we supported on version 1, 2, and 3. But also, we can have the third-party language tools alongside to define the desired state. The third-party languages, for example, will be the Puppet, Chef, or anyone, or so forth. So these are the languages that we do incorporate as well. So if we have authored them, we want to have them in a configuration staging area. So we contain that in a MOF file. So this is something that we maintain and contain as a MOF file. And you want to use this MOF file, this desired state configuration staging file data, and then you want to actually deploy that in a repetitive manner. We want to really remediate some of those things that it's not actually applying these in a state. And we really want to utilize that as well. So this is actually very, in a way, hard to kind of get a crisp idea of what this is. So I like to show a demo of a desired state configuration. So desired state configuration is a newly introduced commandlet in PowerShell 4.0, and it's super powerful for you to utilize in a very very different scenarios as well. I've introduced this in deployment scenario because it's heavily introduces the concept and the idea of deployment, but it is also heavily being asked, and we have revised a scenario where a service provider wants to deploy multiple hundreds and thousands of their machines in this exact desired state for that server. It's a very simple task. It's a very simple way to do that. Right, now let's see how it really is to use a desired state configuration as a deployment method, but also for maintenance and for stopping the configuration drift. So here, this is a basic way of setting up a desired state configuration. We have a configuration command here, and I have created an IIS website. Note that there's ensure present here, so which means that it's going to search for a Windows feature called IIS, and if it's not present, we should have it as in a present, right? So which means just installing the role. And the same thing goes for ASP, and you can actually additionally add that to it as well. So this is a configuration for IIS website. So this only like enables to have just a basic role installed on it. But in a real life scenario, this is more gonna be realistic. So if you have a website that you want to have a certain website as a default website, and you would want to have a web content to be copied over and use that as a Fourth Coffee Web Baker website. So I'm going to have this configuration, desired state configuration run. And if I run this set, you will be able to see that it is contained in a MOV file. So now we have a desired state configuration MOV, and you can actually utilize this into your servers. Now I'm going to get a credential here as an administrator, and the passwords I'm not going to be telling you, but that's what we have here. And I'm going to open up a PowerShell session here with the server one, right? And what I'm going to be doing is logging into server one. I mean, browsing into server one. And show you that there is no page that can be displayed because we don't have any IIS enrolled into this server machine, right? And I'm going to run this desired state configuration. Now, what this actually does is it's going to check whether if it has an IIS or an ASP installed on it. And since it's not, it's going to really try to remediate those things that it needs to be installed. And note that because of the web content that we want to have it as a different bakery website, we also are going to have this command of copying those sources to a destination path. But also note that this only does not incorporate with the PowerShell commands we have today, but also the third-party languages that you want to incorporate that with and remediate that in a certain state if the language enables you to do that. So it took about 42 seconds to do that, and if I run this, hopefully it's going to show that it has an IIS website. And I'm going to run this exactly the same command one more time. And the reason why I am doing this is it's going to check, and it only took about 3.3 seconds because it have all the prerequisite requirements that the configuration wants it to do in an exact state already provisioned, right? So I'm going to go into that site, into that server with a PowerShell session, and I'm going to stop the default website, and I'm going to change the new website into the Fourth Coffee website. I'm going to exit this out, and if I go to this website, it's going to show a Fourth Coffee website, right? So this is terrific. I have checked the website. It's being provisioned as the way that I want, but let's say that I had a very sleepy IT admin and just delete it by mistake, right? And if I go back to the website, it's not going to show you everything. Now, this can be a very big monstrous disaster if people need to find out why this is not working. It may be a network issue, maybe a lot of reasons can be according to this error, right? So if I run this DSC configuration just one more time, It's going to provision to the exact state that you have wanted before. And if you just look at that, there's going to be copied over with the bakery website here. And what it does is it's going to run this command just by copying it within that PowerShell commandlet. And it's going to incorporate that and kind of see where it is. And then hopefully if I run this back again, it's going to show you the fourth coffee website one more time, right? So without any of the actions that you really need to take, it gives you a good view of how this desired state configuration can maintain to the golden state that you want. And of course, this golden state can be automatically be at that stage if you have the source destination and let the web admin overwrite that as you think that is appropriate. And it does not accord to this IIS web server, but it also have a lot of different configuration that you can actually manage this throughout your data center. For instance, you can actually have a SharePoint authority have the access right for a certain group, and you want to have that incorporated with the configuration file, deploy that, and all your SharePoint servers are going to have that authority assigned to those different SharePoints that you want to manage through DSC configuration. Right, so having said that, I hope that you had a good view of deployment. And I'd like to kind of wrap up what I have said in this third module. So we had a talking on the different way of deployment methods that we provided, which is utilizing the server manager, but also you can actually use this desired state configuration to deploy them. And the best way to highly maintain to the exact state that you want, desired state configuration can be a very good idea for the users to go ahead and utilize this functionality. So that wraps up the third module. And for the next module, I'd like to go through the ecosystem and also other aspects that we have in server management and automation in Server 2012 R2. So stay tuned, and I hope I could see you in the next module as well. Thank you very much.